Hello. Hello. Hopefully that's nice and clear. Right, so I'm talking this morning, but I thought I'd actually give a bit, kind of maybe a bit more of an introduction to what this kind of current series is, because although we started in September, we obviously had Matt come in and speak to us about it, and we've had an all-edge. We haven't actually had like a full sermon kind of on the series yet from a member of the church anyway. And so it was a really nice meeting we had all together when we actually were kind of, and just kind of naturally grew out of it what we were going to have the series on. And so kind of the kind of two kind of themes were kind of like worship and community. It's come to that kind of maybe overall heading of worshipping together. And so closer to Christmas, kind of November time, we're going to be looking at different strands or ways of what worship is. But before then, we're going to be focusing more specifically on our community. And we just kind of like had lots of ideas. We were like, oh, you know, it feels like a time of transition, of, you know, potentially big decisions. It's also our 90th year. What are we building on in our 90th year? What are we moving towards? What's the God's plan for the people of Hebron? And what does it mean for us to be kind of doing life together now? And so somehow or another, I've ended up, and I did volunteer for it, with a preach on get on together. Yeah, get on together. Which I'm sure you all envy me for getting to talk on this. But yeah, because how do we get on together? Because it kind of seems like a bit of an impossible thing, really. So I'm going to try and look a bit about what that is meant to look like. Well, what I think it was maybe meant to look like and how we go about doing it. And actually, Matt did touch on this a little bit on his sermon when he talked about the kind of we of worship in Colossians 3. So I'm not bringing this up again because we think there's any particular problems, by the way. Felt like that when I was prepping it. I was like, oh, hang on, we're kind of touching it on again. But it's just, it's something that's important for our community to thrive, isn't it? And so hopefully I can add on to anything that Matt had said and pull out some practical things as well. But yeah, let's pray for a moment. Lord, that you would help to spark helpful and productive thoughts in every individual here this morning that will help us as a collective church to feed into our wonderful community that we do already have here, God. Amen. Okay, let's get going. Right, so we're going to start in Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So Paul here was writing to this because there was issues in the church in Corinth because and he spends quite a few chapters talking about this and trying to deal with it because some people are going, no, I follow Apollos, no, I follow Paul, no, I follow Cephas, no, I follow Christ. And he's like, ugh. I imagine when he wrote this, he was just thinking, how have you got this so wrong? What's going on? I kind of almost hear a parental voice there going, just getting really to the end of your tether and going, would you just be nice to one another, please? Would you just get on? Would you just get on? I can really kind of hear that voice coming out of this. But really, I look at it and I kind of see it as almost like a perfect image of what it's meant to be like as church. But I kind of see it as a bit of a heaven thing because we're all going to perfectly love one another in heaven. So I kind of see it as it's a kingdom come thing that we want to happen, but we're imperfect here on earth. So it's kind of like, it's good to have that big vision, but sometimes I have a bit of issues with Paul over this kind of thing because Paul, couldn't you put this in a way that didn't make us awful, just feel awful, and that we're all just falling like short of the bar? And so maybe this is a bit of an example, me and Paul, an example of not seeing eye and eye with others in the church. And in this case, it's me and Paul. They've got a bit of beef. We've got beef. Do you ever have see a picture of that whenever someone uses that phrase? It's such a weird phrase. Anyway, so this is just an example of one of those times. There's a few times that Paul really gets at me a little bit. I'm like, come on, Paul. And this is one of those because it's just a bit pie in the sky, really. Just for me, it feels really unrealistic to almost even say. I do think there's value in saying it, but I'm kind of like, oh, just making everyone feel awful. And so I'll come back to Paul at the end and our beef. But as an aside, I'd be interested to see what other people have their feelings about Paul, because he writes so much of the New Testament, and so much of it is kind of like his personal opinions on things, and he's dealing with different issues in the church. So you get to hear his voice so much, so you actually get an idea of what he's like. So I feel like you can have beef with him or not. You might really love him. I'd really like to hear people's opinions about it anyway. That's an aside anyway. So back to kind of that that higher aim, and to be that perfectly united, as he says it here. What does that kind of look for us, kind of realistically? What does that look like? Are we always going to be arguing? Does that mean we should always avoid an argument? Never say you disagree with anyone. Are we all going to be best buds if we're perfectly united? Is that what it's going to look like? And so with this slide, you're probably going to think it's a bit obvious, but this is part of my problem with Paul. But I kind of feel like we need to say it, because otherwise we're going to get guilt and negativity when we read those kind of verses, perfectly united. We know we're not perfectly united. So I kind of feel like it's a good idea for us to kind of whittle through a couple of what it realistically is going to look like in the church. So I don't think we're all going to be best friends. I think you probably all know that. We've all been around the sun enough times, don't we, to know that you're going to be some people that you're closer to than others. And Jesus was the same. He got his 12 best mates, hadn't he, who he travelled with and really did life with. He also had other people like Mary, Martha and Lazarus. He said that he was really close to them. But, you know, they were people he visited from time to time, weren't they? They weren't people he was doing life with, the day-to-day kind of thing. So I think it's fair to say there's going to some people we're going to be closer to, some maybe slightly less so. Okay. And so for my second kind of hopefully obvious point, I look at Romans 12. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. And the word I want to pull out here is devoted, because the word kind of used here is meant to be, it's kind of like a fraternal devotion. So how you're fond of your kind of natural relatives. So no wonder we talk about being like a church family, really. That's what I always talk to Rory. I talk to us about being church family. And I think actually the analogy of a family is also great in understanding this next bit. So Rory, he regularly tells me that he loves Jamie. It's very sweet. And then the next second he'll be like, no, Jamie! Or he's grabbing something out of his hand. They love one another, but they don't always get on, right? So, like, I think it's the same with us as a church family, is we're going to clash at times, aren't we? Maybe it's common sense already, but I feel like it needs saying. We're not always going to be best buds. We're not going to be best friends with everyone. And we are going to clash at times. And that's all right. We can do that in love as part of a church family. And I just think it's worth saying, because otherwise we're twisting ourselves to agree with something that we might not agree with. You're welcome to disagree with me now, although not like this second. or we don't want to be killing ourselves to be there for everyone and do everything. That's not good for us either, is it? And I'm moving on to, so why are we called to be united? And why is that important? And so there's that verse in John 13:35 where it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So our love is meant to be witnessing to Christ, or as John puts it a few chapters later. Oh, there we go. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So I like that it uses the word become here. So it's part of that idea that it's like we're moving towards that direction, but we're not going to be perfectly there. We're told that the way that we really stand out of the crowd is how we love one another. That's our witness. Do you think we're doing a good job of that? Because that's what I think when I read these kind of verses. I tend to just think, think of news headlines that are not good. And historically, we don't do any good. I mean, we think of different denominations in church. I mean, that's not a family quabble. That is a family breakup, isn't it? I often just feel like we're doing a really, really bad job of it. So again, to counter any negativity and disillusionment, I wanted to be encouraging, and there's four things I've noticed I just wanted to point out. I've said four, they're not necessarily in a very good order, but we'll start with number one. So the first thing I want to say, it's not just us. So in that verse, verses I pulled out in Corinthians, yeah, like I said, he spent loads of chapters of that book dealing with these issues. And actually, lots of Paul's writing, I say he was pie in the sky, but actually he's dealing with the nitty-gritty stuff in a lot of his letters. And there's all this fallout going on. If anything, I'd say it's worse than what we're doing now, because they kind of didn't have any kind of the same values, almost, background. It was all different. And he's always dealing with things that people have said about him. He's like, oh, no, that's not what I was about. All this back and forth that Paul has in those letters. But at that time, let's remember, the church was spreading like wildfire, wasn't it? So even though they were all disagreeing, they were also still being a really good witness. So hopefully that's one encouragement. Another thing I've noticed, if I talk about church with non-Christian friends, which I've many, a lot of them always say, oh, it's not really nice, a church community, I can really see the thing that they see the value in, or the thing that they can kind of get their hands around about, is the fact that we are a good community together. There's kind of something recognised that there's something maybe a little bit different there, and it's seen as an attractive thing for the church. So we can't be doing too bad a problem. One that kind of just strikes me is that it's really painful when churches fall out. It's like, it's really excruciating. And I think it hurts so bad because we're family, we're connected, and it wouldn't hurt so much if our hearts weren't in it, if that makes any sense. And four, it's actually really amazing that we get on at all, really, because with the analogy of family, in-laws, often there's a bit of clashing, even in the best in-law relationships, because you're bringing two families together who do things slightly differently. So right here, how many families have we got represented? How many in-laws do we have in the room? So it's like a big clash of all different people doing different things, things differently. So it is actually amazing that we get on at any point. So hopefully those are four kind of like slightly encouraging things, because I felt like I needed the encouragement. Anyway, but let's get a bit more practical now, because now I've dealt with all the kind of negative reactions I have to Paul's statement, which is basically what I've been talking about so far. But we have got that perfection to be shooting towards. The kingdom of heaven is something we've got a job to do in, right? We've got to work to advance it. So how do we get on together? And again, maybe it's not surprising. It's all about love, isn't it? At its core, love is, it's both the why we need to do it, because it's our witness, and it's the how, because actually really what we're doing is just reflecting Jesus. And it's something we can't generate, and it's Jesus' love that enables us to get on together. That whole idea, when I read that Romans passage, second notes, by whom and with whom and in whom is what I was thinking. It all kind of comes from him, and he does not leave us alone at it. It's all about him. So I want to share one verse here. So 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And so again, I get challenged by this one. Sounds very lovely, but how can you genuinely love other people? Because there's going to be some people who you have a kind of natural connection with, like you've had a couple of conversations, you just think, oh, I really like that person, and you could easily love them. But there's also going to be some people that we maybe clash with a little bit more. So how do you, we're called to love people, we don't want that to be fake though, do we? We want it to be a genuine thing. So I've got a story to share here about someone I did not naturally love. It was my brother's, thankfully now, ex-girlfriend. And we didn't really get on. Without going into it, I wasn't feeling great about her. And we didn't have any big arguments or anything like that. It wasn't one of those kind of situations. But I knew that I had kind of bitter thoughts about her. I was just like, oh. And I probably spoke her name pretty derogatively whenever she kind of came up. And I kind of knew it wasn't very great. It wasn't a good thing. And when I was kind of realising that my brother was like pretty serious about her, I was like, hang on, I probably need to deal with this a little bit. And I was going to visit my family, who all live in Warsaw, for the weekend, and I was by myself in the car, and I was like, right, I need to deal with this. This is a good amount of time for me to, like, you know, I've got an hour and a half or so to deal with this. And I was like, no, switch off the radio. And really, really did business with God and was just praying about her. I found that when, for me, I find that if I pray about the things that you're not agreeing about or that, that I just get deeper down that hole and it's not very productive for me. But actually just praying about her and what was going on in her life and her health and everything, I found that it seemed to have changed something a little bit. And the way I noticed it is I then got straight into the house, straight in conversation with my brother and his then girlfriend, and just felt like I was just really interested in what was going on in her life. And there was things that she was talking about, and then I was like, oh, when you said that thing, I just suddenly remembered things about her. And it wasn't me, because I had been really trying to get on with her on my own steam beforehand, but it's all God. He's the one who does the heart work and gives us the ability to genuinely love one another. And so I think love, it's the critical thing, isn't it? It's the really, really critical thing for us to love our brothers and sisters genuinely in the church. But looking for practical kind of stuff, I did find loads in the New Testament letters, and lots from Paul again, actually. He doesn't just leave us with a pie in the sky. He was really saying lots of things. So I was starting to put them together, and I was coming up with a list, and I was like, yeah, I'll do a slide on each one. And I was like, humility, gentleness, patience, peacemaker, forgiveness. And I started to realise that it sounded like a list that I knew well, right? It sounds like the fruits of the Spirit. Not all of them fit into that, but like most of them sounded like fruits of the Spirit. And I was like, well, I can't cover all of these. and it just really struck me that we can only really bear fruit when we remain in Jesus, that picture of the vine. We can only bear fruit when we remain in him. And like my story, I couldn't change my own heart. I was really failing miserably on my own efforts. You can't strain for fruit. It comes from time with God. I feel like every sermon could probably say the same thing, couldn't it? Love and God. Spend time with him and everything else will be better. But that kind of sounds a bit like passive, doesn't it? It sounds a bit like, yeah, spend time with God, but that's all you've got to do, and then you'll be loving your brothers and sisters. Great, right? But we've got work to do as well. And actually, as I was reading these verses again and again and again and being like, Paul, you're really doing my head in. I really just got this, we could really hear that parental voice, just be nice. And I was like, oh, it's really easy. I could remember being a kid and being told that, oh, I'll just get on. I'm like, it's there. I'm not going to be the first one who's nice and gives my toy over or whatever it is. They've got to do it first, kind of thing. And I was just kind of like, actually, the phrase that really like popped up in my head is that we need to kind of actively seek, there is a really active part for us. Obviously, we can do that with God, but yeah, there's active stuff for us to do. So that's why we've got pen and paper. So let's be active and get those out now, please. So you should be able to either see them next to you. Pauline, I think there's some for you there. There's three pens there. Howard, go and grab one. Please grab a pen and paper. I know I'm pushy. You might have to write my name down for the first of these points that you're going to be doing. Has everyone got access to pen and paper somewhere? Yeah. Oh, sorry, Lisa wasn't like that one. I thought I distributed well, but maybe I hadn't. There we go. It should be enough for one piece of paper and one pen for everyone. All good? And there's pens at the back and probably more paper there if you haven't got them. Are they right in front of you, Lisa? Right in front of you. Oh, sorry. Okay, number one is a prayer point. So you could just write down this phrase as your top line here. You could just put pray for dot, 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 someone I have an issue or a clash with. Here, and then you could, or it'd be nice if someone had come to mind, write their name down and then quickly fold over the piece of paper. but yeah, you can leave it blank for the moment, but this would be my top one to do. And this doesn't need to be any like big argument. It could just be someone, you know, you just know that you just don't get on with that well, and you just like God to like change that a little bit, just ease that up a little bit. And again, I'd like kind of encourage you to kind of that person you've got beef with to maybe just be praying, really focusing on them and about their lives and praying about that, and let God's really like do the work on your heart through those kind of prayers. So that's the first one you've got to do. And like I said, if you put me down, that's great, because then I know that relations and everything with church would just be better. So if he was really struggling, put my name, put my name down. Okay. My second one is kind of like a more of like a free prayer or action. So anything that stood out for you, maybe when I just very briefly as I started mentioning the fruits, you were like, ah, gentleness. That'd be what I'd be writing down for me. I know I need to be more gentle. It's yeah, not something I'm known for. And that, or that could be an action, or the action or a prayer. Maybe that is just me and you've been like, oh, I need to go and say sorry to someone for something. Maybe not. Maybe that's a bit too on the nose. Maybe you've noticed something else. But yeah, so that's kind of, again, you could write down, oh, action. Action on anything else. But if anything stood out, this is kind of a chance to put it in there. Everyone's writing. I feel very encouraged. And then for my last two, I actually want to focus on more positive aspects about getting on together. So I talked about what the theme of overall arching theme of the series is, about our church as a whole, and obviously thinking about picking a pastor. So pick an elder, write a name of one elder down. You might already be really good and pray for the elders and pastors and stuff. I'm a bit more hit and miss, but this is your task for this week. Pick a name of an elder, whack it down, and just pray for them. And it doesn't need to necessarily be about specifically the future of the church, but just really pray for, because we've obviously got people who are putting a lot of time and effort in, and I know lots of people in this church do, to help run the place. It'd be good if we've got some really like great prayers going their way this week, or longer than that, but you know, this week I felt like as much as I can ask really. And then the last one, again another positive one, I don't want it to just be about people we don't get on with so much, but also to grow the really strong relationships that we do have in this church. So I kind of cherry-picked hospitality from my list of fruits of the Spirit. Well, I'm not sure hospitality is in there. But anyway, hospitality, it would be a good one. It is mentioned lots of times in the letters in the New Testament. And I just felt like, oh, it's something we should be doing more. And it's easy to just... So this is for some people in the church, the names to write down here, is someone that you already have quite a good relationship with, you know, you get on with well, or you know you like, but you want to know a little bit better. But maybe it's just someone to just invite round for a cup of tea, or go out and have a cup or a drink, or do something, go for a walk with, or come round for a meal. And so my idea is this, that like at the end of the service, that there's a lot of lovely invitations going out. And you know it's to people that you know you already get on with, or you want to know to get better. But it's can be a really positive thing, like I said, to kind of grow the relationships that we already have that are so great at Hebron. So put a name down. Or just write show hospitality to and come up with it later. Okay, and then you'll be pleased to know this is my last slide. And thanks, Lucy. So, like I said, I think I'd naturally clash with Paul a little bit. Who knew you could have beef with someone who isn't alive? Apparently you can, I do. But he isn't totally unrealistic about church relations. He does give lots of advice, and he uses the phrase bear with quite a lot. Bear with other people, or becoming, and bear with, it's that idea of kind of like patient suffering. So he does get that it's really, really hard. And actually, over like a lot of years with Paul, I used to just kind of be like, oh, Paul, and then like ignore stuff and move on with him. But actually, I just like really feel like God has really given me a heart for Paul. And now he really reminds me of one of my friends who is just so passionate, but sometimes can just say those kind of pie in the sky comments that you're just like, ah, oh, Paul, like that. But I do still see the value in those kind of things. And I find the value in him. And despite my having kind of beef with him, I know God speaks through him. I can still see that, even though I don't agree with him all the time. And I think that's the same for us. It's God can, will, and does speak through each of us. And that's what I pray for us as a community, really. God, please transform our hearts to produce this fruit in us that we so desperately need to witness to you, God. Lord, as part of your church, Hebron would bear fruit for your kingdom. Lord, that this time of transition would strengthen our community. Amen.